bank account. He's going to dung you if you don't get in here and help him. Isn't he a blessing to do all this?
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Michael, for your hard work. And he's got that, he's a coach, so he's got that ability of being a leader. You want everything about it on that list always has in common? It's called eating. Now, kids, when you fix turkey for Thanksgiving, there's no rare, medium, rare. It better be done. Salmonella is a cuss word to me. Hey, ma'am. So chicken and turkey needs to be well done. I can't stand steaks well. I don't like beef well done, but I like chicken well done, don't you? And I like them where they've been picked real clean, too. Hey, man, I was down at the Guatemalan refugee camps, Pedro, years ago, first time I ever went, there's four United Nations camps. And war broke out in Guatemala, and they had run there and fled there out in the jungle. And if they heard American missionaries coming to preach down there, they would do without eating meat for a month. They didn't have much to start with. And I tell you what, I couldn't do it. I just couldn't accept that kind of sacrifice. But we got down there, it was nighttime, and man, they still some feathers on that chicken they had fixed. I got sick real quick. I said, I'm fasting today. Hey, man, fasting and praying. So hallelujah. If you was raised on a farm like I was and you wring them necks and you got to get them in hot water. Amen. Well, be that as it may. How many of you kids even know what I'm talking about? Glory to God. You need to learn how to wring the right kind of necks. Right. Nehemiah 3, verse number 13. The valley gate repaired Hanan, the inhabitants of Zenoa. They built it and set up the doors thereof, the locks thereof, the bars thereof, and 1,000 cubits on the wall unto the dung gate. So what we're doing here, we're going through these gates in the book of Nehemiah, and they're all strategically located and strategically named. Everything God does has significance. You may not know, and I may not know what it is, but it's got it. Now, what this does, these gates, of course, is an entrance point and an exit point. And this city was known, and different parts of it was known by these gates. Of course, that'd be a place you'd teach your children. Go down to the valley gate, go up there to the sheep gate. I lived near the east gate, whatever. And it was something they could use to pinpoint location. But these gates represent different parts in the Christian life. And what they represent is a progression. That's what we're all on, is a progression. Now, we're headed to heaven, but there's a progression to get there. And these experiences of the Christian life are in all of our lives. It starts with the sheep gate, ends up with the sheep gate. And that sheep gate's been, the name's been changed today, changed by the Turks, the Ottoman Empire. And today, that sheep gate's called the Lion Gate. You reckon God's in that? Second time he comes, he's not coming as sacrifice. He's coming as a lion of the tribe of Judah. Aren't y'all glad for that? Well, what's the second gate? It's the fish gate. What do you do after you get saved by the grace of God? Go in that sheep gate. You tell others about what God did for you. That's fishers of men. Jesus said, follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. And then you go from there to the old gate. That's where you get established in the truth of God. That's why we go to church. That's why we got devotions. That's why, not just to feed our soul, but to enlarge our intellectual ability. You need to know the Bible. Amen. If you're a truck driver, you better know the roads. If you're a Christian, we need to know the roads. Amen. And then you go from there, you go down to the valley gate. Now, the only place on the wall that's lower than the valley gate is the dung gate. And that's for another Sunday. But this Sunday is the valley gate. Last Sunday, I mentioned a little bit about the valley gate. Every child of God has valley experiences in your life. the longest distance between two gates was from the old gate to the valley gate. Now, some of y'all are going to know exactly what I'm talking about. When you first got saved, you had a honeymoon with the Lord. Man, I'm telling you, said, man, is it always going to be this good? And then all of a sudden one day you woke up and you was in a valley. You didn't even know it existed. And I'm telling you, thank God when you get there and you're headed there and I'm headed there, you'll find he's the lily of the valley. But what the valley experience is for, here you got the sheep gate. Then you try to witness to people, and then you learn the truths of God, and the valley gate is to keep us from being puffed up with knowledge and with pride. That valley gate's where God humbles you. The valley gate is where God teaches you the deep things of God. Everybody God ever uses has a sense of their unworthiness. I'm not worthy to stand here today. I'm really not. I'm not worthy to sing the songs of Zion. But in Christ, I've been made worthy. Thank God he's worthy. I might not be worthy, but he's worthy. And that's what the valley gate, it takes you to that place of humility. Boy, you think everything's going good. And if you're not careful, I've done it now, dear people. I've done it. I hope I don't do it anymore. Look around and say, why are they having all that trouble? Man, this thing's serving God. Glory to God, mountaintop. If you pray enough, you live for God enough, you got victory over everything, and they're having problems. Boy, you about headed for a valley. That valley experience helps us have mercy on one another. We can see when people have deaths in their families, when they have sicknesses, when they have problems, and they're going through that valley experience. But that's the place God gets real to you. That's where you can really help somebody. And that's where all these truths you've learned come alive, and you apply them to your life. I'll tell you, in the Bible, the men God used, they always would pronounce their unworthiness before God. In Genesis 32:10, Jacob, who became Israel, who was the father of the 12 tribes of Israel, he prayed to God in Genesis 32:10. God's about to change his name, and before God does and gives him power with God and man, old Jacob said, I'm not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of the truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant, for with thy staff I passed over this Jordan, and now I'm become two bands. He said, God, all the good things happen to me, thank God I'm not worthy, but I thank you for them. David, the giant slayer, Goliath slayer, great king of Israel, man after God's own heart, humbled himself. Psalm 40, verse 17, I'm poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh on me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God. 2 Samuel 22:36, thy gentleness hath made me great. 2 Samuel 7:18, who am I, O Lord God? What is my house that thou hast brought me hitherto? One of the great modern songs in the last 50 years was written by Rusty Goodman, and the name is, who am I that a king would bleed and die for? Amen. Hallelujah. God loves us little people. That's what we are. We're the little people. That's all we'll ever be. You may not be little in your eyes, but you aren't God's. Boy, when you're little in your eyes, God can exalt you in front of other people. Oh, Apostle Paul said, I'm the least of all saints. Here's the greatest preacher since Jesus Christ, done more good for the world outside of Christ, was Saul of Tarsus, who became Paul, the great apostle Paul, and he said, I'm the greatest, or the least of all saints, and I'm the chief of sinners. George Whitefield, America's greatest evangelist, in my opinion, he said, before he died, let my name be forgotten. Let me be trodden under the foot of all men. If Jesus may therefore be glorified. I could give you example after example. What made these men have this attitude? Listen, they're not making this stuff up. They believe that. It's one thing to act like you're humble. It's another thing to be humble. If you're humble, you don't know you are. You probably think you're not. But I could use illustration after illustration. You know what? Most of your great songs come from people with a broken heart. Did you know that? Whether it's music of the world or music in the church, there's no place for people that think they've arrived, don't have mercy on others. Thank God for the place God can bring us where we walk humbly before God and before other people. Now I'm getting somewhere this valley gate. It's just taking me a little while to get there. The builders of the gates showed their willingness to humble down, to labor together for the glory of God and the betterment of the people of God. Now, I spoke of these truths last week about this valley gate being a place of humility. It's a place of danger. It's a place of difficulty. It's a place of discouragement. But it's ordained by God to get us where we need to be. Sometimes that's why we're plagued with some kind of a sickness. I don't understand it. And we pray, God, take it away. Ask other people, pray, God, take it away. One day God may take it away. But some things we'll be plagued with till we die. That helps keep us in that valley gate. Helps keep us in that place of humility. Oh, these men had a great zeal and a great enthusiasm. Oh, a Hunan and these inhabitants of Zea. But they were willing to labor in the depths of the valley. Boy, a lot of people can minister on that mountaintop. All excited when everything's going good. What about when everything's not going good? Somebody's got to minister in that place. Some of you today, you say, well, I've not lived up to God's expectation. I've not lived up to other people's expectation. Guess what? I've not lived up to my own expectation. Amen. So these men are willing to go down deep into the depth, to do the work nobody else wanted to do. Oh, thank God for the sheep gate. Thank God for that place where I got saved. Thank God for the fish gate, that place I got a burden for souls. Thank God for the old gate where the old elders were that taught me the word of God. But thank God for the valley gate. In the valley, he restoreth my soul. You know what that old gate does, don't you? It leads to the new quarter. That old gate of truth will lead you to a new life. God's not going to give you any new truth. He's gonna use that old truth in that Bible and make you a new person. Amen. I'm glad for that. He lets us know what it is. Now the valley gate led to two valleys. That's why it's called this. Now it led to them. The dung gate emptied out into them. But the valley gate led to two valleys, the valley of Gehenna and the valley, the Kidron Valley. Now this valley that it led to, being Gehenna, is a picture of hell and the judgment of God. That's where they burn the trash. That's where the bodies, unclaimed, of the inhabitants of the city were burned. That's where all of the dung and the refuse of the city was dumped out into. And it burned all the time. That place of judgment, that place that Jesus used as imagery to describe hell and eternal suffering. But then the other valley that this valley gate led to was the Kidron Valley. What valley did Christ pass over to go from Jerusalem to the Garden of Gethsemane, the Mount of Olives? It was the Kidron Valley. Where was it that David passed through and wept the whole time when Absalom, his own boy, tried to led an insurrection and seized the throne from his own father and then tried to kill his own father? David went through the Kidron Valley and wept as he went. Boy, it's a valley of sorrow. It's a valley of great pressure. It's a valley that we'll all go through. It's the valley of the shadow of death. But though it is, he'll go with us all the way. Now I think about this valley. Valleys are part of an experience that God teaches us that we couldn't learn anywhere else. The best fruits grown in the valley. Amen. Oh man, what a blessing that valley is. Old age is like a valley that you're going through. But one thing about a valley, if you're going through it, you're going to come out on the other side. Thank God there's light on the other side of that valley. And it's eternal light. Thank God for that. Now, there, it takes two hills to make a valley. God's God of the mountain as well as God of the valley. God's God up there. Thank God he's God down there. He'll not forsake you when your bones get old and tired and you're afraid of falling. You're afraid of the rest home and the hospital and the surgeon's room. Thank God when you got God, you got somebody going with you. Amen. He is God of the mountain and God of the valley. Boy, I tell you one thing. When we go through the valley, we're to say, Lord, what are you trying to teach me? You can teach an old dog a new trick. God can. Sam, you've learned a lot of things in your old age. Boy, don't you want to leave this world glorifying God, learning things about him that you never knew before? Nothing short of remarkable about the way these men built these gates and built these walls. In 52 days, they learned to work together and they learned to help each other in the valley. Boy, these names are highly significant. So walls are built to protect the city. That's what it's all about. It's so you can control the city. So you can control what comes in and comes out. So you can have commerce. Now these 10 gates are mentioned in sequence again, representing the Christian journey. Verse 13, the valley gate repaired Hunan and the inhabitants of Zanoa. They built it and set up the doors thereof, the locks thereof, the bars thereof, and 1,000 cubits on the wall under the dung gate. Isn't it good God can lock you in? Amen. Thank God, God can seal us in. And he does. And lock us in from the danger. There's some things the devil can do and there's some things he can't do. He can aggravate my mind, but he can't get my spirit because the Holy Spirit dwells there. Now we see here they're going to build these walls called the Valley Gate. Because it's one of the lowest parts of the valley, right off from that valley gate is a gorge of 2,500 feet. Two mountains, two hills make a valley. The valley gate led to these main valleys again of Hemon, the valley of Hemon, we call Gehenna, and the valley of Kidron. Now, when you go through the valley gate, the valley of Hemon is separated. Now watch this. The valley of Hemon has two mountains on each side. Or the where the valley gate's at, there's two mountains. There's Mount Zion, that's the city of David, and then there is the hill of evil counsel. When you go to the valley gate, when you go to the valley, you got both of them every time. You got the hill of evil counsel and Mount Zion. Oh, Nehemiah begins to examine the ruins of Jerusalem, the ruin of the wall. He didn't go in there in the daytime. He went in there at nighttime, and he goes in there, and he goes through the valley gate, and he's probing how the extent of the damage that's going on. Who in the world ever heard of a man going and trying to find out what's happening to a city and the ruins in the nighttime? But he went in the nighttime. Why didn't he go in the daytime? Because in the valley, it gets dark. It gets so dark, you can't see the light. It gets so dark, you don't know there is the light sometimes, but you believe it by faith. And there's a little old phrase in the Bible that'll become precious to you, and it came to pass. Sometimes when I pray and I don't feel, I love the felt presence of God, and I don't feel God, and I read the Bible and I don't get much out of it, but I keep reminding myself I'm doing this today, maybe tomorrow, maybe the day after that. God's going to show up. God's going to be there, and you just work through it. And some things you can't pray through, You got to praise through. You serve God very long, you'll find that out. Some things you can't pray through because you don't even know what to say. But you can always praise through. Hey, man, thanksgiving. I'm the God. Boy, this low area, this valley gate, leading down to these two valleys down below. Boy, a valley can be a beautiful place. It can be where the streams are. It can be where the houses are built. It can be where the animals roam. Or it can be a place. Think about in Israel, it's a dangerous thing to be in a deep valley in the middle of the day. I've been over there on the old Jericho Road. And they stop the tour and they take you over to the side and they say, look down there. It's like 2 o'clock and it's dark as midnight down there in that gorge. You know why? You got those big mountains coming up, forming that little old valley. And about 2 o'clock, the mountains hide the light, hide the sunlight. And where the light can't get to, it's darkness. When the sun comes up, when it's about 10 or 12 o'clock, high noon, it's light in the valley. There's coming a time you'll have to walk by faith. You won't understand what's going on. That's when, thank God, you'll discover how faithful God is in that time of life. Depending how deep that valley is, depends how quickly it gets dark and how dark it gets. Some of y'all been through a long valley. You know what? Nobody else knows it but you do. You give anything to feel God like you felt God before. You give anything to get where you need to be. What do? Make your mind up. Let God know. Let yourself know. Though he slay me, yet will I serve him. God, by your grace, I'm going to serve you when it's going good. I'm going to serve you when it's not. I'm going to serve you when you answer my prayers. I'm going to serve you if you don't. You're worthy. Yeah, we need to mean what we say. If you never do another thing for me the rest of my life, what you've already done is more than I could ever praise you for. The sheep are the people of God. When you walk through the valley and it's dark, you're vulnerable. Boy, you can somebody sneak up on you. That's when Satan can really sneak up on you. From the evil hill, the hill of evil counsel. Boy, you get on the top. And we associate victory at the top. I'm on the top of the world, you know. Everything's going fine. Boy, I tell you one thing, but then you descend into that valley. You don't get there in a day. It seems like a period of time you get farther and farther and farther from God. I'm here to tell you, God teaches us to walk by faith and not by feeling. God teaches us just how valuable it is. Have faith in our soul. You get to searching through the scripture to find something to give you hope. Amen. And you always find it. I tell you what, my dad had a nervous breakdown back in the 80s. I mean, it's terrible. My dad's a rock. I mean, Grace and Mark know him. My dad was a rock. He's when everybody come through to get spiritual advice. I'm serious. People just hunt him out. They go with their problems. I remember one of my cousins one time. My dad was known for his wisdom. And he went to my daddy and said, my dad was a machinist up our Great Lakes and has done that for 39 years. And he asked my dad, he said, would you put my name in? I think that I want to change jobs. My dad said, well, how long have you been there? He hadn't been there but several months. Here's what my dad told him. He said, you got to give a job a chance. He said, I tell you what I want you to do. I want you to work there 2 more months. And after 2 months, come back and talk to me. And if you're dissatisfied after 2 more months, I'll put your name in. And my cousin never come back. Amen. And he's still working there to this day. Amen. That's the kind of wisdom my daddy had. Amen. My dad, if something flared up, somebody gonna make a rash movement, he says, hold on. Pray about it for a week now. Don't say nothing. Pray about it for a week or two. Buddy, that's wisdom. I mean, that's wisdom. It's a whole lot easier to say nothing than to eat crow. Whether it's hot or cold, I don't like eating it. But my daddy had a nervous breakdown. I think it was a satanic attack on me. Because it was a time in my life I got closer to God and got in a world I didn't even know existed. And so my dad's mind slips, and he can't even go to church and don't even know he's saved. My goodness, here's the most saved man I know. He don't even know he's saved because his mind slipped. And finally one day, my daddy read in the book of Job because my dad was being terrorized. He couldn't sleep. He is terrorized in his dreams. I'm talking about one of the godliest men I ever known being attacked like this, because your mind is a feeble. It's on a thread. And my dad, he'd try to go to sleep and look up at a ceiling fan and see people in hell screaming for mercy. It got so bad he didn't want to live, but he wouldn't take his life because he thought he'd damn his grandchildren. That's what he told me. He said, but one day he read in the book of Job, where thou terrified me in my dreams. He found out somebody else saved went through that. I tell you, that valley experience, you start searching God's word, you'll find out others face things a lot worse than you did. And then my mother don't even remember it. They got my dad, found out he had a chemical imbalance. See, it was a physical thing, but Satan jumped on it. See, a lot of problems you got's not Satan. It's a physical thing, but then Satan takes advantage of it. He takes advantage of loneliness. He takes advantage of disappointments. He takes advantage of children that go wrong. He'll accuse you, jump on you. He'll say, well, you don't know God. You're not right with God. God don't hear your prayers. And then you go searching through the Bible, you'll find people went through worse things than you did. But my dad had a chemical imbalance. They fixed it and he never had another problem. I mean, just bam. But I seen my daddy go through that and it changed my whole life. I said, if that can happen to a man of my dad, and my sister sitting here, she can testify to this. I mean, I go over and talk to him. And I hated to go talk to him because I couldn't help him. I tell my daddy, I said, if you ain't saved, I ain't. Ain't nobody else saved. Don't tell me that. Well, I didn't help him a bit. But what helped him is reading that Bible, finding Job, what Job went through. In that valley time, you know what that's done to me? I don't look down at people with mental troubles. Somebody on some kind of antidepressant, I ain't jumping on you. I ain't telling you ain't spiritual enough. Oh, no. Hey, are some of these bragging, brazen preachers, they better be careful. I know of a preacher one time jumped all over people because he was on medication, and it wasn't long he about lost his mind. But he got off of that. It's in, and I'm not talking about it's all right to be drug addicts, but I'm here to tell you right now, if you got a problem in your stomach, is it a sin to take a stomach pill? No. If you got a knee problem, is it wrong to get surgery? No. If you got a toothache, is it a sin to use medicine? No. If you got a mental weakness, is it wrong to find something to help out? No. Amen. No. Boy, you got to have mercy on each other. Now, don't get to where you some pill pusher. You know what I'm trying to say. But it's in the valley we learn to have mercy on each other. It's in the valley. If you've ever had a lost husband, you can sure sympathize with, and maybe God saved yours. You can sympathize with somebody else that does. You've ever seen children go bad. You say, oh, my children live right. Well, you just hang around. You're going to have grandchildren. You're going to get your heart broke. You're going to have disappointments. Thank God somebody's built a gate at that valley gate. They's done been people went down there, and the Lord's done been to the lowest of the lowest, and he'll be there to help us in that hour. So in the valley gate, you're stepping out into these valleys. You got the hill of evil counsel, and you got Mount Zion. You got two voices, one on one side and one on the other side. Where it gets scary is when you can't discern God's voice. And Satan gets so strong that you think that's God's voice. That's where a lot of people get messed up. That's why you pray stuff out. Below the valley gates, the valley of Hinnom. That's where Manasseh, that's where they built that old idolatrous god Moloch. And that god was hollow. It had a pit in the bottom. And they'd set, they would burn wood under that brass god, would turn colors. It would turn red. And it had hands sticking out, the body of a man and the face of a goat. And they'd take them little babies and throw them on that hot god. And them babies would be sacrificed. And they'd be screaming. And sometimes the women would not voluntarily do it. They'd be taken of the very babies out of mama screaming arms and throw dogs and all kind of things on that god. And God said, in hell, they'll be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. That's where they come from. Because it's in that valley you lose your children. I'll tell you something. You say things ain't going like they ought to. Well, I'll tell you what. Now, I've not always done this. This is my philosophy. This is real simple. This ain't even deep. But this has always been my philosophy. Whenever God seems at a distance, whenever my heart's cold, whenever things are not going right, I don't quit. Ain't no time to quit. Quit. The only help I got's God. Quit. Hey, you gonna get any victory in quitting? You know what I try to do? Don't even feel the Lord. Just try to get as close to Him as I can. God, clean my heart out. God, I want to get thoroughly right with you. Forget about the problem. Forget about the difficulty. And just try to get as close to God as you can. That's what you do. You say, we're having problems. We done tried the church and the church didn't work. Did your children hear that? Huh? Have your children heard that? My God, folks. The church don't work. God works. There's a lot of churches I don't have confidence in. I wouldn't even go to them. But thank God there are. If I look hard enough, there's the fellowship of God's little youngins, and I need you. Hey, in the valley, don't leave me alone. Don't forsake me. God, give me enough sense not to forsake y'all. When I can't pray, I need somebody can. Amen. Old Solomon had 700 wives, 300 concubines, and he came to pass. Solomon was old. His wives turned away his heart after other gods. His heart was not perfect to the Lord as the heart of David, his father. Solomon went and set up Ashtaroth, the goddess of the Zidonians, and Milcom, that's Moloch, of the abomination of the Ammonites, and the wisest man that ever lived got out of God's will in his old age and built these idols. Then later on, he didn't make his children pass through the fire. But his great-great-on-down-grandson did. Be careful when you get in that valley. Temptation's coming. Boy, the devil's going to make that old life look good again. And you're going to forget how frustrating it was. Well, one thing about the devil, he just reminds you of the few good times. He don't remind you of all them bad times when you don't have any money, you're ashamed to face people, you got in some fight, you either got beat up or you choked somebody down. I mean, all these things we do when we're not, the temptation comes, it comes to deceive you. It comes to distort your understanding, to distract you, discourage you, distress you, disgrace you, embarrass you, shame you. You get in that valley, temptation comes, and you run back to that ABC store, and you know you shouldn't have went there, and somebody seen you come out, and now you're so ashamed, too ashamed to go to church. Are you seeing what the devil does? I'm here to tell you, he comes to dishonor you, discredit you, and to degrade you, but in that valley is where you'll lose your children if you don't act right. Oh, help us, Lord. I'll tell you one thing, the most precious thing in my life outside of God's my family. And it is yours too. You see how Satan deceives us? Boy, gets us to that valley gate. And man, he makes it look like serving God's not worth it. He gets to lying to you, tempting you. Instead of you getting closer to God, you start running from God, and you end up doing things you never would have believed you'd ever done in the valley. We seek to find out, God, what are you trying to tell me? What are you trying to get me to start doing? What are you trying to tell me to stop doing? I want to tell you something, dear people. This life is miserable enough. And if I don't have God, I can't make it. Sister Carolyn Walker, I've reached the age that I can thoroughly agree with Dr. Percy Ray and something he said. Well, I hope I had enough sense years ago to do it, but I can tell you I really believe it now. Dr. Ray said, take my prayer life. I can't live. I can't live. Listen, if I knew I could never have fellowship with God again, I'd beg him to take me out of this world. I can't live that fellowship of God. If I'm not in fellowship with God, I get weak. Boy, it's amazing how the anointing power of God gives you physical strength. Now, that doesn't mean when you don't have it, you're not right with God. Don't misunderstand. But there's nothing keeps you going. You know, you study long hours. You know, you keep it going. The anointing of God. We can't do this stuff in our flesh. Oh, the valley's a low place. It's a long distance from that old gate. Watch this now. You spend a lot of time at that old gate learning truth, because in that valley, you're going to have to remember them. And they'll come alive. Amen. The longest distance again between two gates was the old gate and the valley gate. Boy, that honeymoon's a good thing, isn't it? It's a good thing. Honeymoon with the Lord. You thought I was talking about your wife. Did some of y'all ever have that? Y'all know what that means? Y'all ever had that? Sometimes it takes a long time to get out of that valley. Oh, yeah. But you're going to be better than you ever were. Because you're going to have a heart to help people. And that valley experience will always make you stronger, more sensitive, and more spiritual. Those three things. Stronger, more sensitive, and more spiritual. So if you're in that valley, say, Lord, I hope I'm getting near the end of this thing. But no matter whether I am or not, you're going to give me some things that's going to make me a better Christian than I ever would have been. Amen. So Nehemiah inspects those walls from the valley gate. Boy, and then he, chapter 2, verse 13. I went out by night by the gate of the valley before the dragon well. I'm about done. And the dung port and viewed the walls of Jerusalem, which were broke down, and the gates thereof were consumed with fire. So he goes out, Brother Chad, in the darkness of the night to investigate the walls, because in the valley it gets dark. Valley experience, dark places of our life. And it says that he went out by night at the gate of the valley, even unto the dragon gate. Or the dragon well, rather. The dragon well's known by three names. Three names. Dragon well. Who ever heard of a dragon well? Right there at the valley gate is the dragon well. You let that sink in. Jewish lore said... Of course, this is superstition. This isn't true. But Jewish lore said, this is how it got its name, that a dragon lived under Jerusalem. And then it, when it raised up, it would cause a big crease in the ground. One time it raised up and it made this big crack in the ground. And it made this pool. And that's where this well bubbles up from, caused by an earthquake. And some would stay away from the dragon well, lest they would stir up the dragon. You know what? A lot of superstition will keep you from God, too. Not just called the dragon well, it's called the serpent's pool. Right outside the valley gate, you will encounter the serpent. Oh, yeah. That's where you're going to find him. It's also called the jackal's well. That's a dog-like creature like a coyote. 1,500 feet below the valley gate was the dung gate, the garbage gate, Valley of Hinnom. And then the valley of the Kidron Valley was down there. I'm here to tell you, right outside that valley gate, that's where Satan, he tries to nip it in the bud and run you out of the Christian life and living for God. Just that quick. Here's what you got to do. These voices that talk to you, do they line up with that? No. What's that? That's that dragon's well. That's that serpent's pool. That's where Satan's trying to get you to partake of what he's got. The valley gate repaired Hanan and the inhabitants of Zenoa. Now, there ain't nobody here but you and us and God. And I'm mainly preaching to the church. This Hanan, the one that built this gate at the valley, his name means to be gracious, to show favor and pity, to have mercy on. And dear people, here's what I'm trying to tell you. That valley, nobody likes going through them. But God's grace gets more real in that place. And the presence of God will eventually get more real. And God's word will be more precious than it's ever been. Zenoa means cast off. Yeah, that's who helped build this wall. Hey, that would have been rejected. That's what it means, cast off. He knew God's got building the valley gate. He mentioned the name of one man. It means to show favor, to have mercy on, and to be gracious. And when it named these men that come to help, they're called a bunch of cast offs, rejects. That's what grace done. It put rejects and cast offs in the work of God where we can build the house of the Lord. Then on the wall of the gate was the towers. That's somebody watching over you. Yes. I like them dogs. Call them dogs of Psalm 23. Amen. What's them dogs? Following God's people, protect them. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Them protective hounds of grace and mercy are following us. Amen. So Kidron's a picture of this pressure. Hanan's a picture of judgment. Towers are built on the walls. Grace and mercy is looking down to help us. Grace and mercy is there. Nehemiah is so important because the work of God is so important. Josh, you come on. Old Nehemiah went out to investigate. Had to be an investigation. Had to be a cooperation. Had to be a determination. When you go, hey, it's worse than he thought. The ruins are worse than he thought. How depressing it must have been. But God sent him there to do the work. And praise God, he found cooperation and determination in the grace of God. Boy, no, you know what? Let me just give you this right quick. Nehemiah goes down. He's got it laid out where all the gates are going to go and the walls. You know what Nehemiah saw before they was all built? He saw the wall. You want an artist to tell me a great artist can see the finished product before they swipe the brush the first time? They know where they're headed. A sculptor's got a big piece of stone. You know what it does? He just chips away at everything that doesn't look like what he's headed towards. There's a man, a sculptor one time, and there's a bunch of stone laying out to the right. And it, they'd all been chipped on, but they were outcast. And they asked him, said, why is all those stones laid out to the side? He said, because I thought they was all right, and I got to chipping away. But inside that stone, it was so hard, I had to cast it off. May we stay tenderhearted. Say, preacher, this don't sound too exciting. Oh, it is. Because you get through that valley. Amen. There's some I dread going through. I'm going to have to go through them. I got to face them. I dread them. I always dreaded the death of my daddy. Until he got ready to die, I was glad he went. I'll tell you what, I've not shed many tears over that. Because my dad had a massive stroke. And I try not to remember it, but every time that I think about it, my mother called, and my wife, she's jumping on the spot when it comes to emergencies. We run over there, the EMS is getting there, and my dad had that stroke. He's trying to reach, pull himself up, and he couldn't. He couldn't reach it. And I was too scared to help him. I didn't want to miss anything. I'll never forget my daddy just moaning, trying to reach. That one side's paralyzed, trying to reach with that other side, trying to help itself. Hey, I dread that valley. Thank God it ain't gonna last long. This is just a little spot in 22 eternities. I had a beginning one day, but thank God I'll never have an end. There are a lot of things I dread facing. And I'll tell you one thing, if I didn't have God, I don't know what I'd do. The Lord don't come, we'll bury our mother. Lord don't come, I'll bury my wife, or she'll bury me. Lord, I don't want to bury my children. Oh God, I don't want to bury my children. Oh God, I don't want to bury my children. But what if we face that valley? If you don't have God, what have you got? If you don't have fellowship with God, how are you going to face what you're going to face? You're going to run and get drunk. Stay on drugs, you eat your liver out because you can't face life. Or get bitter. I tell you one thing, this thing ain't nothing like having a shepherd beside of you. Because he'll not let a thing happen to you that he's not there to help you. Just bow our heads in prayer. Thank y'all for being here. I had a bunch of scattered thoughts. I think you're understanding.